Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I've never done this before when I've had authors on to discuss a book. And by the way, if you're newer to the Steve Noble Show, and this is Steve, if you're newer to the show, then one of the cardinal rules I've had for about 9 years now, this is my 11th year of doing radio, is that the only authors that get on the show are the ones that the book, I actually read the book, I love the book, and then I become like a town crier so that I'm putting my shoulder to the same plow in the kingdom perspective on the contents of the book. I had one author on once when I didn't read the book itself, you know, the PR people, the marketing people send you all kinds of questions. So I think everybody thinks it sounds like you've read the book, but you can usually tell when a guest host or a host has not read the book. But I did that once, and then I felt like I needed to take a shower. So I've never done that. I've never done that again. And so this one, I knew about this book, Only One Life, by Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee, because I've had some interaction with the Green family through the Museum of the Bible, and I've had a chance to sit down with Steve and Jackie to talk about the Museum of the Bible over several occasions. But I've never started an author show by going to the back of the book. So this book, Only One Life, How a Woman's Everyday Shapes an Eternal Legacy, which, by the way, gentlemen, is perfectly fitted for you as well and myself as well, even though all the examples in here, which are awesome, are about women, both women in the Bible, women kind of older historical figures, and then newer ones, more present day ones. And a lot of them I never heard of myself and was totally blown away. But I'm going to go to the back of the book to really set this up. I just love how this was written by Jackie and Lauren. Only One Life, the divine gift of a single fragile lifespan is all any of us have been granted. Rich and poor, great and small, woman and man, it doesn't matter. One is all we get, which makes the signature wisdom of Marie Green's favorite quote, with which we began this journey at the beginning of the book, they're talking about, so very important. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last, which is a really an amazing poem and a big part of the book. And you see family legacy and then the other types of legacies that I've mentioned. But I'd love to welcome Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee to the show. Hey, ladies, how are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. So this is an awesome read, and it's kind of cool. It's kind of fun because we all I just met you, Lauren, just a couple weeks ago. We were all in Dallas together for Harvest America with Pastor Greg Laurie. By the way, what did you guys think of that? You were there on the stadium floor.
It was amazing, just amazing. A very powerful event. We loved being there. It was really awesome.
Yeah, it was great that you guys, we are also thankful that you made that 3-hour drive down through all that crazy traffic to join us there.
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was such a miracle to see all these lives changing right before our eyes and, you know, people coming to Christ. So it was great. It was worth the 3-hour drive for sure.
Yeah, I always call that the birthing room down there on the floor, in this case, the stadium floor at AT&T Stadium. Well, there's a great list: courage, generosity, witness, wisdom, teaching, rescue, compassion, boldness, tenacity, faith, prayer, and loyalty, all these different ways that any of us, but specifically with the book, how women can leave a really an eternal legacy. So what brought you, ladies, to writing this book?
Well, whenever Mom and I were just out and about a few years ago working with Museum of the Bible to raise awareness about this project that was a couple years out from opening, we were meeting women all over the country who we were just getting to have conversations with and get to know their stories, and we were hearing about just some of the amazing ways that women were impacting their communities and investing in others, and we knew that women had an incredible role in our own lives personally in shaping us and who we are. So it kind of came up organically, just the idea of legacy. We've had a lot of conversations about what it means to shape a legacy in our own family. And then just meeting women all over the country who were unknowingly shaping a legacy in their own life and in their own communities. We were having these conversations and had the idea for the book of wanting to celebrate the many ways that women shape a legacy in each of their own contexts and with their own stories. And so whenever we were talking about the book and wanting to highlight women who have shaped the legacy, we kind of came up with these three different categories. So women from the Bible that have shaped the legacy, and then women from history, as well as women today that are currently living out their legacy story, and just diving in and giving many biographies and encouraging women to figure out how they can shape their own legacy.
And Jackie, I wanted to ask you, because legacy obviously plays a huge role in your life from your family, and then when you married Steve and David, his father and grandmother, there's a great several great stories in there. But then also for you, going all the way back to royalty, literally royalty in Great Britain, how has legacy kind of played a role in your life, Jackie?
Well, first of all, we do have stories of women that have impacted and played a legacy role in our life, mine, my husband's, and his father's. And it just goes down the line. We're so blessed to have that story. Not everybody does. But, you know, I have a grandmother that was a Christian. I tell a little bit about her story and how she drove in the covered wagon to a revival. And then my grandmother, that was my great-grandmother, excuse me, and then my grandmother, my mother. So I have that lineage, but my husband has that. And on his side of the family, his dad, David Green's mother, Marie, is sort of like what we call the hero of the family, the hero of faith, because she was quite a woman of prayer, and we share a little bit about her story there. But as Lauren mentioned, as a family, we've had lots of conversations about what we want to do with our own legacy story and being intentional of passing down the values and the things that are important to us as a family to our children and grandchildren and future generations after that.
And when we talk about legacy in general, how would you two kind of define that word? When we say leaving a legacy, what does that mean?
Well, I think that's a great question because so much of the time we want to think of maybe monetary things that we hand down, you know, a legacy piece that we've handed, or monetary things that are objects that are not the things that will necessarily outlive our life. We're talking about the things that are eternal legacy purposes that will outlive our life and carry on the things that were of value to us in our faith. And, you know, we just have a love for the Bible, and for us, it's important to establish for our family that that's something we want to pass down through generations that are to come.
Yeah, we're coming up on our first break, but I want to make sure we talk about, because one of the things when you read a book like this called Only One Life, and you can get it on Amazon all over the place, I've got links up on Facebook today, is you read all these stories, of course, biblical stories, biblical accounts with a lot of women in the Bible that most of us probably aren't even aware of, or you knew of them, but you didn't even know their names. And then, of course, some older stories and then newer stories. And when you read these, you're like, wow, holy cow, these are amazing women, and I'm just kind of a normal person. How in the world can I measure up? We'll talk about that, too, when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's the Steve Noble Show. A great honor today. One of my favorite things to do is read, and then to be able to get authors on the show and then walk through these incredible books that God brings onto my radar screen just providentially, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm an excited reader. I'm a highlighter, and then I post it notes. So I've got a copy of Only One Life sitting in front of me, How a Woman's Everyday Shapes an Eternal Legacy by Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee. And Jackie, the Hobby Lobby family, the Green family, of course, most of you are aware of them. And Lauren, you didn't get married all that long ago, did you?
Well, 9 years ago, actually.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you look like you're 22 or 23. That's why I said that.
I got married when I was very young. We were 21 years old.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for this. And I really enjoyed reading the book. And even though the book focuses on women and women leaving a legacy, gentlemen and ladies, too, this is a great book. I'm 52. My wife's going to read it next. I'm definitely going to make sure our daughters read it. If I can coax my 17-year-old son, I might have to bribe him into reading a book written by women. But I might do that. It's really a powerful reminder of the whole notion of legacy, which we were talking about before the break. And then people that really started off most of the time ordinary or very difficult circumstances, and then utilizing one of these various traits that Jackie and Lauren write about: courage and generosity, witness, wisdom, teaching, rescue, compassion, boldness, tenacity, faith, prayer, and loyalty. You get exposed to these incredible stories of women that have left a lasting, talk about lasting to say the least, legacy in this world and for the cause of Christ. It's just an amazing book, and it's great to be able to talk about it. So we were talking about beforehand kind of the notion of what a legacy is. But when you read the book, there's 36 women. There's with each chapter, there's a biblical hero, a woman in Scripture, which a lot of times most people wouldn't even know their names, kind of older people that left a legacy, and then more current ones. But it seems to be, have you guys run into this with people that have read it? And I think this is normal. You read these incredible stories and you think, well, that could never be me. So how do you just speak a word of encouragement to ladies and men listening too, when you read a book like this, that it really could be you, that God wants to use all of us to leave a legacy?
Yeah, one of the things that I love that kind of tied all these women together was that they all had 24 hours in a day, and they had only their one life that they had the opportunity to steward, just like each of us. So some of them would have never guessed the impact that their life would have, and they just chose to live faithfully each day that they were given. And that's the same opportunity that each of us had. So I loved that the women, I feel like if I were sitting down speaking with any of these women and asking them to reflect on their life, they would probably say, you know, I never would have guessed that the impact and the legacy would have had this far reach. And so we don't get to know what the reach is that our legacy and our lives will have, but we have the same opportunity that each of them have, which is just to live our lives faithfully in obedience to following God and what he has for each of us in our own paths.
And Jackie, what about you on that one?
Yeah, I would just add that when we look at their lives, they surpass, they encompass different age groups, different geographical areas, different challenges, all around the world. And they just overcame whatever challenges they had by their faith and their love for the Word and the Bible. And so I think that it makes them very relatable to whatever circumstance anybody might be going through. We have such a vast array of women that we're leading and not really realizing that they were powerful leaders for us to look at and exemplify their character today through their love for the Bible and their faith in God.
Yeah, I've one of the things that I noticed in going into it, and I think just being very transparent here, you think legacy, you think these lasting legacies, and I think in our culture, largely we come up with men. We come up with men's names, these kind of titans of our history. But in this case, when you go through this list and these amazing stories, one woman after another, what was behind writing this specifically about women, for women, and what message do both of you, both you, Lauren, and you, Jackie, have for the women that are going to read and encounter this book?
I think it's just important for every woman, like Lauren mentioned earlier, to grasp a hold of what time they have, every day that they have, and to work toward your legacy plan, shaping your legacy story. We have opportunity every day around us in our community, our families, our homes, to be investing in others and to be an influence in their lives, and to also just share the love of God with others. And, we share some of our stories, our challenges, and some of our story in the book, as well as some of our family stories in the book. And we just feel like it's important for women to be encouraged. We want them to feel enabled and empowered somehow by relating to others that we can look at in the Bible and in history and modern day lives as examples of women of faith.
And we don't each have to feel like we're already fully equipped for every challenge before we really step up to the plate and start to live out just the full obedience to God. I think that God does equip us as we move forward in faith in just following his will for our life. And that looks different for each of us in our own context and the people that are around us and in our marriages or families or if you have kids or if you're single, whoever it is that's in your path, how can we each influence them for good and for kingdom purposes? And it's looking with an eternal mindset to say, what are the things that are eternal? And for us, we believe that's the human soul as well as God's word. And so how can we go about our lives investing in those things? Because those will have significant impacts that'll live on in eternity.
Well, Lauren, let me ask you this question. I mean, you're growing up in one of the more well-known Christian families in America, and the impact of Hobby Lobby and the Museum of the Bible and the Supreme Court case and all of that. In terms of learning the importance of legacy and thinking about leaving your own legacy, Lauren, what was it kind of caught? Was it kind of taught, or was it both? Like, how did that work its way out in your life growing up in the Green family?
Yeah, so growing up in my family, I got to see my parents and grandparents just live out such intentionality with their faith. It was very authentic, and still is. So I've seen my parents really invested in the Bible and instilling that in their own lives every day, as well as my grandparents. And so it was a real authentic legacy. But then also my family decided to have intentional conversations a couple of years ago and actually put on paper, what is our family vision, mission, and values for the type of legacy that we want to leave for, you know, looking towards the next seven or more generations? What do we hope is said about us in that amount of time? And then really being intentional to kind of write that down so that we talk about these values as a family often in order to keep them alive. So it was a lot of intentionality.
Yeah, and Jackie, I wanted to ask you this question. Obviously, a lot of intentionality. That was obviously the environment that you all set and that you married into the Green family, and that was, you know, obviously passed down from Steve's parents. But in terms of reading some of these stories, oftentimes there's no intentionality there other than faithfulness to the Lord, and kind of it's very organic almost, like what's going on in your life today, and then thinking in terms of how can I pass things down. Does that make sense? Intentionality versus just kind of reacting to whatever's going on in your life.
Right. I do. Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It's kind of a hard question for me to sum up really quickly. But as Lauren mentioned, we have been intentional with trying to get this legacy plan for us, for our family, down on paper. And that was a lot of hard work to do, to sit down with our family members and say, hey, what is our family vision, our mission, and our values that we want to pass on to at least seven generations? And you know, but I think for me, for every day, it's just recognizing we need to remember over and over and be reminded over and over that this is important for us to work toward like a muscle every day.
Amen. What a great point. We're talking to Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee about Only One Life. We'll be right back.
Probably going to the second, because she's in our wisdom chapter.
We'll talk about that. Hold on just a sec. Welcome back, everybody. It's Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show, talking to Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee. An incredible book, Only One Life, How a Woman's Every Day, and I'm italicizing that, I'm taking liberty there, because Jackie Green brought this point up. We were talking on the break on Facebook Live. So if you want to join us, sometimes you can get, we have a kind of a show within a show, a conversation within a conversation. It gets a little schizophrenic because I have to hit the pause button when we hit a commercial break for all of you, the overwhelming majority of you listening on radio. And then on Facebook Live, we kind of take a separate tack. We talk about something a little bit different, and then we come back at it. But every day, how a woman's every day shapes an eternal legacy. Two things on that. And then I'm going to ask Jackie and Lauren about their favorite women that they discovered, and there was the research, and then sharing their stories in the book. But every day, this isn't like this big moment that you wait 20 years for. It's what can you do every day as just a regular person, not a rock star, not a well-known person, not rich, not beautiful, just a regular follower of Christ. Every day, what we do, what I do, what you do, is leaving a legacy. It's kind of like leadership, or every Christian is a theologian. It just matters whether you're a good one or a bad one. And legacy is being developed all the time. So the intentionality, as Lauren was talking about this, of thinking, how am I going to impact generations from now into the future? And we all do. I mean, I hear stories from my parents about their parents and their grandparents. And so those legacies are real. And we need to think about that. And the other thing, how a woman's every day. Well, gentlemen and ladies, too. This would be a great book, gals, for you to read. If ladies listening to us today, just go to Amazon. You can find it pretty much anywhere. Only One Life by Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee. When you're done reading it, let your husband read it. I read it cover to cover. It's a very powerful book. Great lessons for all of us. Doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, but it is written particularly to women, which I really appreciate, and it's just an awesome book. So Jackie and Lauren, again, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so Jackie, let's honor you as the mom and let you go first. And who would you say is your favorite character in the book that you guys researched and included in stories to show us how a particular woman left a legacy?
Okay, so I'm going to do a little bit more backstory. You know, we have 36 women. So in our 12 chapters of character traits, we have a woman from the Bible, a woman in history, and a woman that's in our current modern day time that's living out their legacy story. And so You know, I'm a mom, so I don't have favorites, or I have to be really careful about having favorites. But one of my favorite stories is the one of Queen Elizabeth II. She's one of our current day examples. She's in our wisdom chapter, the wisdom of the queen. She is a woman of faith, and she's also one of the greatest leaders, I think, in our world right now is a woman. And she's just somebody that we can look to as she's gone through different challenges in her life. And she also, you know, every Christmas she talks about her faith and she gives an encouraging message. But for her 90th birthday memoir book, she wanted it to be The Servant Queen and the King She Serves, which I think tells a lot about her and her faith. The other little fun tidbit about the queen is that we were doing all this genealogy stuff in the last few years, my husband and I, and realized that the stories that were passed down from my great-grandmother and on down that we were related to the queen are true, and we were able to have a professional genealogist document that. So it was fun. She's my cousin to me.
That's so cool. All right, so Jackie, the next time I see you, do I need to bow or something?
Well, you know, I tell my husband that occasionally, just for fun. But no, absolutely not. But, you know, it's just a fun little tidbit because we're all excited about the things that happen in the royal family. But anyway, her faith is important to her. And I'll let Lauren tell you about another example.
That's a great one. Lauren, go ahead.
Yeah, so one of my favorites is Elizabeth Ann Everest. And she was born in fairly humble circumstances in the 1800s. And most people wouldn't know her except for some history buffs, but she was the one that raised Winston Churchill as his nanny. So Winston Churchill grew up with parents that were very distant and really didn't have a close relationship with him at all. And it was the nanny, Elizabeth, who invested in him, really believed in him. And Winston's father very much discouraged him and told him he'd probably never amount to anything. But Elizabeth Ann Everest believed in him and encouraged him and really invested her faith and strength into him. And Winston would really attribute a lot of the strength and faith and conviction that he had to Elizabeth Ann Everest. And I love that the American poet William Ross Wallace is a part of a poem called What Rules the World. Each stanza concluded with the line, "For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." And I thought that was just a microcosm picture of, you know, Elizabeth and the legacy that she left through Winston has literally shaped the world that we know today. And she left an incredible legacy, even though most people probably would never know her name.
Right. And the amazing thing about that, she was just basically doing her job as a nanny. And anybody that babysits or nannies today, you never really think about that. There's all kinds of stories of Billy Graham. You trace back stuff like that. But it was interesting. This was in the legacy of faith, the faith section of the book, Only One Life. And I just want to read this. This is what Winston Churchill himself would later write. "I love my mother dearly, but at a distance. My nurse was my confidant. Mrs. Everett, it was who looked after me and tended all my wants. It was to her that I poured out all my many troubles." And then when you flip the page, this was really powerful. "This relationship was deep and powerful throughout his eventful adult life." We're talking about Winston Churchill here. "Right up until his death. It was not a picture of his parents that sat on Churchill's nightstand, but a beloved photo of Mrs. Everest, who was his nanny, an incredible woman that left a legacy based on faith." And then, were there any other stories, like for you, Jackie, that kind of jumped out or that were profound in terms of their impact on you and maybe challenged you in some way?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, a lot. Many of them did. You know, let me give a Bible example. You know, I've always loved the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mm. And even as a young woman, I would read her story and would be amazed and put myself in that position and think, what would I have done? You know, what would I have said? And I'm just still amazed by her story that she had such faith in the miracle and in the impossible. And she just said, okay, let it be so. And I think she asked one question, how could this be? You know, and that was it. I mean, I would have asked 20 questions, right? So I think any of these examples are something that we can learn from, and they make it, they make it more attainable for us to realize that we do have a legacy story because they were just normal everyday people, but they had such faith and they had a love for the Bible. They knew where to look to in challenging times and what to draw strength from. And I also want to say an important point here that we try to encourage women that even if you've not had positive role models in your life and your journey, you can shape your legacy story to be different.
And that's one of the beautiful things that, that Lauren and I both love, is that it doesn't matter where you came from or what was passed down to you. We all get to choose what we pass down.
What a great point. And there's a great example of that. This was in The Legacy of Teaching. Try to guess who this woman is. Divorced nurse in her late 20s with two children. Rebellious and running from God. Had a series of bad choices in men and unhealthy relationships, including a husband who committed suicide in a two-year affair with a married man. Nevertheless, according to her own testimony in 1963, all of this was true of one of our greatest living Bible teachers, Kay Arthur. I mean, that was a mic drop.
Right, right. And, oh, don't we love Kay? I mean, she's just such a gracious, wonderful woman. I bet she will even say, there's nothing more important to me in the world than the Bible. She has told me that. And,
wow.
And you know, but look what she overcame. And she had challenges. And but thankfully, we serve a God that, you know, grace-filled. He fills us with grace. Yeah. He gives us grace. And his mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
He can redeem the lost time and the challenges that we've gone through and whatever mess we might have been in. So Kay's a beautiful example of that, and we do love her.
Amen. Talking to Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee, one last question for both of you about the book, Only One Life, How a Woman's Every Day Shapes an Eternal Legacy. What's your encouragement? We'll start with you, Lauren. Your encouragement, especially speak directly to the women that are listening today as to what they can expect and to get out of this book and why they should read it.
Yeah, so I'm a millennial, so I'm a younger, in a younger generation. So I really hope that people my age or younger women will gain the feeling that they've had just a mentor through this book by looking at all these women and the examples that they were and the testimonies that they have and just the love for the Bible that they show throughout their life, and that can be poured into each of us as we read these stories, just an encouragement, almost as if just walking alongside these women and listening to their stories and understanding that we each have an opportunity to learn from them and apply it to our own life.
Very well said. Jackie?
Yeah, that was good. I was just thinking the same thing. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be able to sit down with these 36 women and just say, what can I learn from you, you know, as I walk through my own life and challenges and ups and downs, joys and sorrow. What can I learn from them to help me be better prepared to shape my legacy story and to live my only one life for God's purposes?
What a great point. Jackie Green and her daughter, Lauren Green McAfee, thank you so much for being with us today on the show. Only One Life, How a Woman's Every Day Shapes an Eternal Legacy. Just Google that or just jump on Amazon. And because Lauren's a millennial, she already threw that up on Facebook Live today. So monitoring all the social media platforms out there while doing a live radio show. That's the deal. It's a millennial's world, I think. We're just living in it. Jackie and Lauren, thanks so much again for being with me today.
Thank you for having us, too. It was our pleasure.
You're welcome. We'll talk again real soon. Okay, everybody, that was Jackie and Lauren Green of the Hobby Lobby family. What a pleasure to have them on. It really is a great book. Make sure you get it. We'll talk to our friend David Fisher right after this. All my life I've been searching for something. Something never comes, never leads to nothing. Nothing satisfies, but I'm getting close. Closer to the prize at the end of the rope. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And that was a wonderful conversation with Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee, Jackie's daughter. That's Jackie and Steve Green, Hobby Lobby family. And it's really a great book, and it's a great read, whether you're a woman, which is who they wrote it for, or a man, which it really isn't written directly for men, except it is, because this whole notion of a legacy is really powerful, really great conversation. You can grab that on Amazon.com. Just Google it and you'll find it. And a really great read. I just read it over the last few days and it was excellent, excellent, excellent. And one of the things that we do, this wasn't primarily part of the book, but in terms of legacies, a financial legacy, which would require, what do we do with the finances and the funds that the Lord makes available to us? And to get a little help on that, as we always do every Monday here on the show, our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Steve.
Great to have you on, and I don't know if you heard that part of the show, because I know you call in and catch the end of the last segment, but so this is Jackie Green, Steve Green's wife of the Hobby Lobby family, and she found out through some genealogy stuff that Queen Elizabeth, the current Queen of England, is actually her ninth cousin. So my first question for you is, what rich, famous, powerful person around the world is your distant cousin? Do you know of any? Because I don't.
No, we've done the 23andMe, and but it doesn't, you know, tell. And I'm not a genealogy guy. You know, yeah. I know I'm grafted into God's kingdom.
Amen. You know, there you
blood.
Go.
And that's what's important to me, but, you know, I don't know who my ancestors are as far as, you know, do I have a high-regarded German ancestor, because I'm German Fisher, that's spelling with the C, but no, I don't know if I'm tied to anybody famous, just except for the Lord.
Amen. That matters more than anything else. Well, we'll get into our Money Monday update here in a second, but we always start, and I appreciate you wanting to do it this way, we always start with a biblical application or admonition, and we're in 2 Peter 3:9, so let's go there first.
The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all come to repentance.
Amen.
You know, obviously our timeline can be and many times is not the same as the Lord's, and especially when it comes to things that we desire for to happen in our relationship with him, and the things we desire maybe monetarily or looking towards retirement or things, or, you know, what the market is doing. Sometimes we say, you know, give me patience and I want it now, Lord, you know, that type of thought process.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
The Lord is slow in his plan in our life, but he always comes through, and his timeline is not the same as ours. And so we need to yield to the Lord's plan.
Yeah, amen. What a great word. And in yielding to the Lord's plan today, we might be thinking a little bit more in that direction because the market just got pummeled again today, down 328 points. So a lot of this is this, I assume, because of the looming trade wars, and you've warned us that this was going to happen, and sure enough, this is what's going on. But how long do you think it'll last? Is this what's causing the market to get hammered in the last 7 days? And can we expect, is this kind of the new normal, or what's going on here with this, David?
A lot to do with trade. It's not the only thing. It could trigger other underlying fundamental problems, but this is now in the news. You know, the rhetoric between China and the United States is not pulling back, but it's continued to move forward, and as a result of that, it's affecting the Dow, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, the Russell, all the indexes. It's affecting the Chinese market. The Shanghai plunged 3.2% last week. But China's ratcheting up their way of supporting their market. They're doing what we did in our country a few years ago, and just even recently, the Fed cut rates on depositories for banks. China just did that to the tune of 0.5%, which they're saying will unlock about $700 billion in yuans that they can inject into their economy to support this, to fight the trade war. They also are coming out in the news that their news is now saying that they might fight Boeing, Apple, and Nike through not buying as many planes, not supporting and doing as much business with Apple, and buying as many shoes, or putting on trade wars in those areas. And this is coming out of their state-controlled news media. And they also said this, quote, China does not want a trade war, but if Chinese companies suffer great losses due to the Trump protectionist trade policies, China will have no choice but to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
So this could escalate. I saw an interview today, Steve, that somebody who supports Trump saying this trade is going to go on for 2 to 3 years. So I don't see a short-term end to it, unfortunately.
Yeah, and so is the market always going to react negatively? Because it sure is getting beat up since back to last Monday. And then is this, because the market is down a lot, should we look at this as kind of a buying environment? And then, of course, as always, because you really specialize in precious metals, is this one of those circumstances where, like, hey, the market's going bonkers because of things going on around the world, and you need to have something to counterbalance that, and that's where you might look at precious metals?
Well, it's throwing a whole mix into things. Harley Davidson, taking it as an example, you know, their stock is down 27%. They just announced today, 6% down today. They announced that they're going to have to move some factories over to China and start producing motorcycles there, since that's their largest, or the third largest area of sales is Asia. European is number two, and United States is number one. So they're going to have to start moving that abroad. So, yeah, it comes down to philosophically really this. Would you hold what you have right now in your holdings of stock positions, bond, mutual funds, metals, all those things. Would you buy more right now? If the answer is no, then you need to liquidate and move money to the sidelines. But the technical side is what has me concerned. The Dow closed today below what you call a 200 moving day average. For 501 consecutive days, we've been above the 200-day moving average. That's almost 2 years, June 27, 2016, to be exact.
Yeah, so the moving average is kind of that range up and down, up and down, up and down.
It's a support level, yes. It's on all products, so gold, everything. But these 501 consecutive trading days is the longest since 1952. The longest stretch was the 652-day run, which was from 1956 and ended on Black Monday, October 1987. So the technical side says get out of this market because when this happened, the market goes down. So that's what traders are saying. That's why you have two different things. Wall Street is saying we're in a trade war. Washington says we're just negotiating this thing out.
Right.
But the markets are getting clobbered. It's the time to sidetrack some money, I think, personally. It's time to get some safety, get some gold, and don't have all your eggs in one basket. Will it cause a financial? This is not a financial crisis.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Are we looking at something that could trigger a financial crisis?
Well, there's a few entities that come out there. The World Bank has said this could trigger a financial crisis, and they're looking at the debt structure of the United States and all the banking systems of the world. So, that's what caused 2007, a couple of headlines, which caused the bubble to pop, which caused a whole downturn economically in stocks and global systems. So we're two headlines away from something major happening. Could it be this? It very much could be. There's some people that are coming out, and 45 economists are saying this could be the thing. So will it be that? It's either going to be this or something of a financial structure with debt structure in the next 1 or 2 years.
Do you think it's on purpose that that the Trump administration is not talking about the stock market at all?
I've already said, be careful talking how much the stocks are going to go up. When you own it going up, you also own it going down, and now he's not talking about it going down, but he did talk a lot about it. I'm not throwing stones at President Trump. It's not something a president normally does. So maybe he's either reacting to, I shouldn't be talking about influencing markets. I should be more about making America great, and this does affect the market. So I don't think he wants to be tied to the downside of this.
Yeah, probably not. That's the political reality of what goes on up in D.C. So what would you say if you're going to encapsulate kind of the minimum thing that we should be thinking about doing right now with this kind of a market? What would that be, David?
I would put some money on the sidelines now. Don't have 100% of your money in stocks. Get some money shifted towards cash and get some money shifted towards precious metals, because if we do trigger towards a financial crisis, you're going to see the market go down in stocks a lot more, and you're going to see gold shoot up quite a bit. So I'd rather be 2 years too early than 2 days too late, kind of like Noah building the ark.
Yeah, no kidding. So one of the things that you do there at Landmark Capital that's very helpful, and we're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, is what you call a white paper. So what is a white paper? And I know you've got some that come out regularly, and I think you've got another new one coming out soon.
We got several white papers. I got a couple major ones. It's called Time Is Up, Which Bubble Will Burst First to Trigger the Coming Great Deflate. Probably what you're referring to is I write a monthly newsletter. The last one was talking about locking your doors to keep your money safe. This one is coming out next week. I'm giving the insight into my 8 predictions that I said previously that came to pass, major ones, and I'm talking about a couple new ones that I see happening in the near future. So I'm giving those predictions. It's a free monthly newsletter. We believe in education.
Yeah, because a lot of what's going on and the things that we've been talking about on the air for the last couple of years really comes down to research and seeing what's going on out there, and I imagine that's a significant portion of your time every week.
Absolutely. And just on a side note, we don't give out your email, or we don't blast you with emails. It's once a month a newsletter comes out, and we don't sell your information. So it's always private with us.
Yeah, and great information and education as always with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. And then what's the phone number if they want to get some of that information?
The old-fashioned way, calling 844-879-8882.
All right, awesome. Thanks, brother, for helping us out. I appreciate it. As always, God bless you. Have a great week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Likewise, my brother.
Okay, pal, thanks. We'll talk to you later. Okay, friends, another great show in the bag. Praise the Lord for that. Make sure you get a copy of Only One Life by Jackie Green and Lauren Green McCaffey, a really powerful book. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon, which should be tomorrow.